rolled away from the tomb. They went in, and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling about what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. It was early on a Sunday morning when a group of women who were Jesus' disciples, and let's not miss that, they were disciples of Jesus. They went with him, they heard him teach, they saw him do miracles, and these women came to the tomb of Jesus, and they didn't come to see a risen Jesus. They came to anoint a dead body. All of their hopes, all of their dreams had been placed on Jesus as being the Messiah that they wanted, and everything crashed when he was arrested, beaten, and crucified. But to honor him, to remember him, they came to anoint his body. But as they made their way to the tomb, other gospels say that they begin to ask themselves, how in the world are we going to roll the stone away so that we can get into the tomb, so that we can finish Jesus' burial preparation? But as they got to the tomb, they saw that the stone was already rolled away for them, and they looked in and saw that it was empty, and they didn't understand. The scripture says they didn't know what to make of this, or they were perplexed, or they stood there in wonder. And that's when two men in gleaming bright clothing began to appear. These were messengers of God. They were angels. And I love what they say to the women in verses 5 through 7. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" The women don't understand. They don't understand what's happening. And the angels don't understand why the women don't understand what's going on. Why are you bringing spices to anoint a dead body? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Don't you remember what Jesus told you? Why don't you understand? There's one thing about humans is we don't understand a lot. And when we don't understand, we try to go forward as if we do. And oftentimes that leads us to look for the wrong things in the wrong places. Sometimes the right things in the wrong places. Where is it that we seek life? Where is it that we seek salvation? Where is it that we seek to know who we are? As we talked about on Good Friday, Judas thought that he would find fulfillment in turning Jesus over for 30 pieces of silver. And when he realized the reason he turned Jesus over wasn't going to play out the way he anticipated, he tried to give it back, but couldn't. Not long ago, we talked about the seven deadly sins, where people often try to seek life in certain things, but they don't find life, they find death. In pride, we worship ourself rather than God. In envy, we are resentful and we covet the traits or the possessions of someone else. When we experience sinful anger, it's this wrath or this revenge that we desire to do harm to someone. The sin of sloth is not doing what we need to do when we need to do it. And gluttony is stuffing ourselves with things that will not satisfy. Greed is surrounding ourselves with things that will not satisfy. Lust is trying to control others and things in an attempt to meet our desires. We're looking for things in the wrong places, chasing after the wrong things, storing up the wrong things. There's a story of a rich man who only had a short time to live, and he called to his wife, and she came to his bedside, and he said, "I don't have long to live, so I have some instructions for you, and I need you to carry them out exactly the way I give them to you." He said, I want you to grab two pillowcases, and I want you to go to the bank. I want you to have them fill the pillowcases up with money. And then I want you to come home, and I want you to go up to the attic and hang them from the rafters in the attic. And when I die, when my soul goes up, I'll grab the pillowcases with the money, and I'll be in heaven waiting for you." So she takes two pillowcases, she goes to the bank, has them fill it up with money, takes it up to the attic, hangs it from the rafters, and not long, the husband dies. They have the funeral, they begin to put their life in order after losing a loved one, and eventually the wife is pulling things out of the house to give to Goodwill, to give away, because it's just her in this big house, and she doesn't need all the things. And she goes up in the attic and remembers, there's two pillowcases up here. And she goes over, and the pillowcases are still there, and the money's still there. And she exclaims in frustration, "I knew I should have put it in the basement." We chase the wrong things. And when we chase the wrong things, we end up in the wrong places. We think by chasing the things that we think are going to fulfill our desires, we think our desires are going to be filled. But just like Judas that we talked about on Friday night, he thought he was going to do something good for the kingdom of Israel by forcing God's hand to move and not allow Jesus to be harmed or especially die at the hands of the Romans. But that's not what happened. Sin, shame, guilt can fill us, and we don't know what to do with it. We think we can store it up so we can have it later. We think that we can just spend this amount of time here and now on this thing, and eventually we'll get back to the right things, but we don't. We look for satisfaction. We look for salvation. We look for life in all the wrong places. We look for life among the dead. Some of us try to escape life, but what we're really trying to do is find life, because we're not satisfied with the life that we have, and we think if we can just escape, if we can just get away for a little bit, we can get things right with us and eventually get things right with the world. But we rob ourselves of life when we seek life in escape, when we seek life in something else. Illegal drugs or alcohol or pain, whether feeling it or causing it, whether power or position, things, houses, cars, gadgets, collectibles, even religion in the fundamental sense, the list of do's and don'ts. If I just do the do's and don't the don'ts, I'll be in the right place and I can do it on my own. And we're still looking for life among the dead. Images of movies, of Civil War movies, or maybe even medieval battle movies come to mind when I hear these words from the angel, that they're looking for the living among the dead. Images of after the battle when people are going through and they're poking bodies to see who's still alive and who's dead. And when they find a living person, they are surprised. They're looking for life among the dead. They're looking for life among disease, death, violence, chaos. And so often the world tells us the same things that the chief priests told Judas when Judas tried to return the 30 pieces of silver. He knew that it wasn't going to get him what he wanted, so he tried to give it back to the chief priests. I've sinned. Take this back. Undo what you've done, because I'm trying to undo what I've done. And they say, we don't care about you. We've got what we want. Go away. That's what sin does to us. I've got what I want. I don't care how shameful you feel. I don't care how guilty you feel. I don't care how bad you feel because you've sinned and you finally realize what you've done. I don't care. I've got what I want. And I can keep putting shame on you. I can keep putting guilt on you. I can keep keeping you in this temptation, keeping you looking for living among the dead. And we can feel like Judas. We can feel that shame. We can feel that guilt. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler? It's a young man, very rich, came running up to Jesus, thinking he had everything right with him and with God. And he asked Jesus, just to make sure, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was eager. He was ready. He was excited. And Jesus said to him, sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. We're told that the young man heard this and he became very sad because he had great wealth. So he walked away from the only one who could fulfill his life, who could give him life, who could do what he was asking for, but he became sad because he was very rich. He was seeking life, but choosing death instead. So many of us seek life, but we choose death. And I wonder, why is it so hard for us to give up that will not last for the thing that will last forever? I think we forget, or at least we don't grasp what Jesus has done. Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us. He came to teach and do miracles and point everyone to God the Father. And then he died to make a way for us to be put in right relationship with that God. We forget, or at least we don't grasp. Jesus was raised from the dead, and we know that because of that, God's kingdom has began to infiltrate our world, our history. His work is destroying the power of sin, creating new lives, and preparing us for Jesus to come. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we know that death has been conquered. And we have a hope for eternal life in Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we, the church, have authority to witness to the world. But not only the authority, but the responsibility as well. This is the good news for the world. Jesus was raised from the dead, and it gives us meaning in life, even in the face of great tragedy. Because we know that no matter what happens to us in this life, we have a hope and a future. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, we know that we serve a God who is alive. He is not a hoax. He's not a legend. He is alive and he is real. Jesus was raised from the dead, and we have access to that same power from God so that we can live for him, even faithful lives in the midst of an evil world. and this morning as we prepare to come to the Lord's table to celebrate communion. It's in Jesus' resurrection that this feast has meaning, this sacrament, this sacred moment that we have an opportunity to spend with God. It's in the breaking of the bread that our eyes can be opened to the salvation that God gives us in Jesus. And as we celebrate this Easter, I pray that we all turn our eyes away from the empty tomb and we look for the living Christ among His living people. Let us pray. The shadows of Good Friday are giving way to the dawn of a new day. Instead of death, we find new life. And we give you thanks, Father God, for the hope and possibilities we have with the risen Jesus. You know us better than we know ourselves, and you call us by name to be in relationship with you. Today, as we celebrate Easter, as we spend time in worship, as we gather as family and friends, help us to see Jesus. Help us to hear the good news of Easter, and help us to live out that good news. We pray all this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you stand as we affirm?